good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas, and this is a live prophecy reality edition. We come here once a week, turn on the studio cam, enter the chat room, and engage the culture and the news and try to make some sense out of it, prophetically speaking. And it's getting easier now to see where we are in history, in the history given in advance that is called prophecy. And if I had to pinpoint us to a particular chapter of the Bible, I would say it would be the last half of chapter 13, because the earth beast rose up about 200 years ago. Has it been 200? Well, no, not 200 years ago. Let's see. It was about 1780, in the 1780s, when the Constitution for the United States, I believe that the creation of that government and the establishment of the Washington, D.C. head or of government or locality there is exactly what it is, specifically the government that the Bible is referring to when it speaks of the earth beast. Now, of course, the earth beast, this beast government that's domiciled in Washington, D.C., of course, it governs over the whole 50 states that have joined that that had joined that confederation and that became bound together under that document. And I was going to take another look today at the Empire of the City. It's been a while since we talked about the Empire of the City. But let's do a little review here on chapter 13. I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. Now, a beast, and I wrote a book just to settle the question scripturally, and it's called The Beast Apocalyptic. Okay, it settles the question, scripturally speaking, of what that symbol means, the symbol of a beast, when it is used apocalyptically in the scripture as a symbol, so that we understand what it is, what it is not. And it's fairly plain throughout the scripture. That's why I outline my scriptural thesis and what tells us what the scripture outlines as what a beast power is. So when we see another beast, that means it's not the same beast that was spoken of at the opening of the chapter. That one rose up more than several thousand years ago and has gone through a lot of changes since then and will stand until Christ comes. And it's not a revived Roman Empire. Yeah. Because it really never went away. It just changed its form and became more a creature of intrigue, but its domicile has never changed. It's always been Rome. Of course, it went from the capital city of Rome and the government there of Imperial Rome and moved over when it spake great things and blasphemy, when it took on that religious character, that Antichrist character. That is when it moved, though in the same city, in the same locality, it moved to the Vatican. And of course, it controls pretty much everything that goes on in Rome, because it is the power there, and in the same way that it is the power in Washington, D.C. And anywhere there is power on earth, that's where you'll find Rome and her intrigue through her shadow government. So we see we beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. And a lot of people are wondering, because they see the seeming fall of the American. It's not really an empire. America has never really been an empire. If there's any empire, the empire is the empire of the city, and they attribute it to America because of the capital city. One of the three cities of the empire is Washington, D.C., which is located within the 50 states of America. So everything that comes out of there, they attribute to the United States of America. Well, the honest truth is it should be attributed to the U.S. corporation that is domiciled in Washington, D.C. What is happening over there in the Ukraine, for instance, it's not we, the American people. It is not we are over there doing this or that. I'm not part of that. I'm not a citizen of the U.S. government fiction. Okay. I'm a citizen of heaven. I'm a citizen of the kingdom of God, and my king is Jesus. So let's get that straight. 'Cause I watch a lot of these so-called Christian and alternative media broadcasts, and they always go, we're doing it, we're doing that, and we spread more pornography all over the world. And I'm going, you really have want a part of that? You really want to say we when you're exclaiming that? What comes out, you know, of Los Angeles and Hollywood, and we're spreading new, and I'm not part of Los Angeles and Hollywood. Sorry. There's no we as far as it concerns me. Now, there may be as concerning you. I mean, I'm careful about what comes out of my mouth, and I'm not part of that Washington, D.C. thing over there. I'm as little part of it as I can be. As a matter of fact, I don't do business with them. Yeah. And it made it a point in my life not to do business with that government over there in Washington, D.C., which I recognize as belonging to the Antichrist. And the other thing I always hear all the time is, it's the Rothschilds, it's the bankers, it's the New World Order, it's the Illuminati, it's the, what did I hear from True News the other day? He said, it's the Zionist Masonic shadow government. This guy's supposed to believe in the Bible. What, he doesn't know about the Antichrist? Oh, he's still under the delusion, you know, the Francisco Ribera delusion, that we can't know who the Antichrist is until the final 7 years, or maybe 3.5 years, depending on, you know, which version of the 7-year tribulation deception you buy into. We can't know. So he's still waiting for some Antichrist character to show up at the end of time. Because, of course, it's not the Pope. It's not his Pope, you know, because he doesn't accept Francis because, you know, Francis is the imposter and the true Pope is in exile. Yeah. That's what a lot of, like the Church Militant, if you've heard of that organization, they're very big on alternative social media scapes. You know, the landscape of alternative social media is crowded with the Church Militant and those that believe in the Pope, but the true Pope is in exile, and it's not that Francis guy over there in the Vatican. Nope, he's not the true Pope. Yes, yeah, so they're still worshiping idolaters, still inside the construct of the great apostasy under the man of sin. Whether they accept the official one or not, it doesn't really make any difference at all. But back to Revelation chapter 13 and where we are in history, I believe that Revelation chapter 13, these supplemental chapters, as I was reading something the other day, and I was doing some more research in amillennialism, and they don't accept the historicity of the revelation at all. They don't believe that it covers, that it's all symbolic. They have to wash it all away and do away with it completely. But he said, no, the revelation cannot be taken chronologically. It can't be taken in the order it's written in. That it's all, everything is overlapping. So no wonder he's confused, because he doesn't understand that there is a chronology in the Bible. There are three chronologies, and the end of one opens up the other. So they're not overlapping. And that's what he was trying to explain, that it's all overlapping. No wonder he's so confused. Because first you have the seals, and then you have the trumpets, and then you have the vial judgments. And it's funny how that each one, at the end of each of those three chronologies, it opens up into the next one. There's no mistaking that these are not overlapping chronologies or the same picture from different angles, as he says, as a lot of people say. So you have the three chronologies, and everything else is supplemental to help you fill in and understand the characters and the meaning and the time frame of, and who is acting in, and what their part is in each of these chronologies, if they have a part. And that's what all the supplemental is for, the supplemental chapters that don't outline those three chronologies for you. So, I mean, if you want to understand that, two books you should have is, you know, of course, The Beast Apocalyptic. Once you understand this, it clears up so much. Once you understand the beast powers, and you don't even have to buy the book. You can go to my YouTube page, and I have the series there in a playlist where I did the series while I was writing the book. So you'll get a lot more than, well, I don't know if you get a lot more. The book is much more refined than the series and final, but a very important understanding prophecy. If you understand the symbols, what they stand for, then it becomes easy to see who the players are, and where they fit into the three chronologies that come one after the other. And then you understand the supplemental portions fill in the blanks for you. And of course, the final chapters of the Bible fill in most of the end time area, but they also give you clues to the former chronologies that are already history, because that's the way the supplementals work. And I try to outline that as clearly as I can in my exposition of the Revelation. You can go to my Lulu author page or my author page on Amazon, and you can find those books there if you have a notion to purchase them. But like I said, the last 2 weeks I've been airing my entire exposition of the Revelation on the air. So I hope you've all enjoyed that. The final week is this week, because it takes 2 weeks for me to air the whole thing in a 2-hour broadcast each day, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. And I'll play it again, you know, probably several more times this year, in between other stuff, because I'm recording the Book of Isaiah right now as a Bible study. And so I take a couple weeks off and play something else while I'm recording for another week of broadcast. Between that and everything else I'm doing, it seems that's the way it works out. So I hope everyone's being edified and enjoying that complete narration of that book by me that I've been playing, and you can catch up with it over the broadcasts are left up there for a week, and then when the next week comes, they're overwritten by the New Day's broadcast. Like every Monday, I'll overwrite last Monday's. So they're all there in the in the archives at firstamendmentradio.net or on our podcast player there. So you can check it out. Or just stay tuned. Or like I said, you go to my YouTube page and you can find at least the Beast Apocalyptic series I did while I was writing the book. So that way it's free. Yes, free to you to enjoy and to be edified by. Yeah. Okay, so we have this beast, and it's the American beast is domiciled, the head of that beast, which rules over the 50 states as much as they can, you know. And I'm so glad that we have the government form that we have here based on Protestant liberty principles. And that's why the Antichrist is having a hard time. But we know what the end is because we get to the end of this chapter. And the other thing is, what is the end of America? Well, the scripture doesn't give us the end of this beast power. It is not one of the beast powers that is cast into the lake of fire. It is described as lamb-like, but dragon-speaking. So there's not a contradiction there, but what would you call that? A somewhat of a schizophrenic thing going on there. You have these two things going side by side, and that's why you see this struggle in America between the truth and the lies. And it seems like we're at that midpoint that, you know, and it keeps going back and forth over the center, over which one gets, obtains more power. Let's see, the truth, speaks the truth, and it doesn't violate the law of God. Whereas the liars lie, cheat, steal, kill, and destroy, and murder. They'll do whatever it takes. And so in the world, temporally, they win. And we see that throughout the history of the world. As we've gone through history of the world, the history of the church age, and before that, we see that this struggle always ends up with evil winning temporally. And many times we have the intervention of God to stand up for his church. And even if he doesn't, you know, it's like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they were going into the fire furnace, they said, if we burn, we burn. And if God saves us, he saves us. It matters not. You know, we're not going to bow down and worship the Nebuchadnezzar's image, the lie. Because his image was a lie. See, he had the dream that he was the head of gold. Well, after a while, he showed his true colors. Even though God gave him the interpretation and the dream through Daniel, and he could not gainsay it or said anything about it, except he accepted it as the truth. Because it was. But later on, what does he do? He takes the image that was the head of gold, the arms and breasts of silver, the belly and midsection of brass, and the legs of iron, and with the feet and 10 toes of iron and clay. And he says he makes an image that's all gold. It's all him. He thinks somehow he's going to thwart God's. And what he learned through that image, he thinks that he's going to make it an all-gold image and get everyone to worship it. But it was a lie. The image was a lie. Kind of like everything that the government has been telling us, because the Antichrist showing his hand, but at the same time, most people are deceived and can't even see it. Like Rick Wiles can't see the Antichrist as alive and well and working in the world. And he's the one that's pushing out, and many others who believe that the Antichrist is not going to be revealed until the last 7 years, and then all of the calamity of the entire book of Revelation is going to be poured out upon the earth from the seals to the last bowl of the vials. You know, it's no wonder they're going, oh, please, rapture, yes, I want to escape that period of time. But if they knew the truth, that all the calamity of the revelation is not going to be played out in the final 7 or 3.5 years, but it has actually been playing out over 2,000 years, they'll realize that most of it was past. And it doesn't matter because, you know, the worst thing that can happen in a calamity is that you can suffer in it and suffer from warfare or disease or whatever is going on the earth that is causing the tribulation of the time, and it can kill you. Yeah. So we can suffer just like people have suffered all through history as it's recorded by history in advance and history verified through most of the revelation as it is now. But then we can see where we're at least now, and what is left that is going to happen. But there is no telling explicit information on exactly what's going to happen to this earth beast at the end, or the nations around it. There's not much there. It just tells us, gives us the information how it creates the, it had power to give life to the image of the beast. It made an image of the beast. And of course, we recognize the image as something like that monstrosity, that statue, from Nebuchadnezzar's dream. It was a conglomeration of all of the world powers that would rule from Babylon until Christ came. But this new image is an image of all the powers of the world under the control of the Antichrist, because that is his image. And so we're going to go through in probably the next couple segments and take a look at that, at this post I have. And I've gone over this post and thought, well, can I make it better, more concise? I could probably write a whole book on it, you know, but I'm not sure it's necessary. I think people get the gist from the article. But I'd like some ideas if you think the article could be improved. I'm always for improving it, making it more concise, more details that the scripture gives us or have been revealed by history that we could, you know, that could be outlined in this article. The empire of the city, the unholy trinity that rules the world. Of course, the city that rules the world, this unholy trinity of three sovereign cities. Yes. Because they are sovereign and separate from the nations where they are domiciled. And that is what is peculiar about these three city states. That's what they are. They're city states. They're not nations. They're not the city state of Washington, D.C. is not a part of America. It's not one of the 50 states. It was carved out by Rome for Rome, by the Antichrist and his shadow government for them to concentrate power in the New World. And that's why it's called the New World Order. Okay? Let us understand that. It's not the Old World Order. It's the New World Order. Okay, we're going to take a break here. I'll be back in a few minutes. Hi, I'm Nicholas Arthur, and I'd like to introduce you to my latest book, Reformed Prophecy Interpretation, an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism in the 21st century. As with primitive biblical Christianity, historicism is the method of prophecy interpretation restored with the advent of the Protestant Reformation, and had become so widely held that for a long time it was called the Protestant view. My book is not so much about the errors of dispensationalism or amillennialism. Rather, it is about the historicist alternative to understanding many of the same passages from the vantage point of prophecy fulfilled in history. For those that desire more than mere hypotheses bolstered with conjectured speculation, those who require explicit biblical exegesis and verified historical fulfillment, and are not willing to accept speculation as anything other than what it is, speculation, not truth. This book is for you. Over the last century, this method of interpretation has become almost completely forgotten. even by Protestants, in the face of a method that is based almost entirely on future speculation, rather than fulfilled prophecy in history. In my book, I examine the reasons for this and investigate some of the prophecy which has been fulfilled in the interim, as well as present an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism to the 21st century. If you're interested in a copy of my book, you can go to my website, crosstheborder.org, and get more information there. Or you may also find it at Amazon.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Okay, we are back. Let's see, Dale, Stephen, Ellie, Fireman Mike in the chat room. Is that all we have in the chat room today? And I guess Ty is in there. He says, I love Far and Nicholas. Well, it's gratifying to be loved. Please forgive me. It's not too early for me to be awake yet till early morning. I work till early morning. By the way, I try not to talk about flat earth stuff here because I know Nicholas doesn't care for it. Well, I would give no care to flat earth, but I do care about the truth and about God's word. And I believe that the Antichrist uses the flat earth psyop to discredit God's word. And so I do have an article on my website. It's not trending now in my as I can see here from, I have it up, but it's not trending now on my website because I don't talk about it much. It's kind of like talking about something that doesn't exist, and that is that the earth is flat. But I think I've covered it fairly well and destroyed it pretty easily by using the Bible, that there is no flat earth doctrine in the Bible. As a matter of fact, the word flat and earth don't even appear next to each other in the Bible, and likely not even on the same page anywhere in the Bible. So that's it. There's no doctrine on the shape of the earth. There is a little information about the shape of the earth, but none of it leads you to flat. Okay. And so I'm not going to talk any more about that, but because he was apologizing because he put in the chat room something earlier. If you scroll down, he says, I saw a meme pointing out that the lunar landings were all in the face of the moon. And that would be the side of the moon that faces the earth. So how could the famous Earthrise picture be taken since the moon always faces the earth? Well, and that's a good point. I think I've seen that Earthrise picture. and they have the Earth pasted in a picture on the surface of the moon as if it's, you know, like the moon rising on Earth. But, and he says, how could they see it? Yeah. And so that's, you know, that's true. And I don't believe, you know, that's a whole different thing. I do believe with Ty that man never landed on the moon and that's all fake. Because, and I believe that's logically easy to figure out for anyone who wants to think logically. Like you can logically figure out that the Earth is not flat because the horizon looks flat, you know, because the horizon will always look flat, whether the Earth is flat or round. So you can't tell by observing the horizon what the shape of the Earth is. That's a logic thing. So anyway, so I'm not going to talk any more about that today, but I do have an excellent article. If you just put flat Earth into the search thing there, and I have an article, it's called, Flat Earth or Spherical Earth. What does the Bible say? Yeah. So you can look that up and check it out for yourself. I think it'll answer all your questions and some questions perhaps that you never even thought of. So do check that out. Okay. The Empire of the City. We're back to it. The Empire of the City, the unholy trinity that rules the world, the three city-states, the three so-called sovereign city-states. But the reason that we call them sovereign city-states is because they are sovereign from the locality that surrounds them. Okay. But they are an unholy trinity through which the Antichrist, through his intrigue, rules the world. And I open up with this quote, "And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came into remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath." Now, a lot of people make the mistake when they read the scripture, when they read a sentence like that, that is divided up first by a colon and then by a comma, that all of those things happen at the same time. But remember, this is supplemental. This is telling us things about the participants and the machinations and the goings-ons in the world around us. So if it says the great city, there was a great earthquake, okay? Well, what is an earthquake symbolic of? Well, we know that an earthquake in context with powers of the earth being mentioned would be a political earthquake. It would be an upheaval in the ruling powers or in the political firmament of the powers of the earth. Okay. So, and the city was divided into three parts. Well, the city was divided into three parts. This could allude to, but I'm not saying it does, but I'm saying it could allude to the division or the unholy trinity into which the Antichrist has divided her power in order to rule the entire world. So it works for me. And then that says, and the cities of the nations fell. Okay. So the great city, what's the great city? Of course, it is the great city. It is the little horn power. Okay. That was first imperial Rome. Then it was religious Rome, because the Antichrist, imperial Rome, had to be taken out of the way for the Antichrist and the great apostasy to come into dominance in the earth. And we see that as history, as part of historicism. So when the great city was divided into three parts, it seemed to me that this division fits perfectly. These three sovereign city states, the first being, of course, the first in time and place would be the Vatican at Rome, and then London, the city of London, which is different than London proper as part of the UK, but it is the what they call the square mile, I guess, the financial district in London is a separate city, sovereign city state, as is Washington, D.C., which came last. So yes, the Vatican is the city of the empire of the city. You could just as well say the empire of the Vatican. And that gets to America is accused constantly of being an empire. But it is not. We do not conquer America as a nation, the 50 states. We don't go out and conquer other nations and occupy them and add them as states. You know, like we didn't make Vietnam the 51st state. And then, of course, we went over to Afghanistan. Our interest was not to turn it into the 52nd state. Okay. So it's not an empire like empires of the past where you conquer and you assimilate. That's what an empire is. But that empire building that is going on is not by the 50 states. It's by that dragon speaking power in Washington, D.C. And of course, all the people that in those 50 states that have attached themselves and cheer for it, they're all the dragon side of this beast, these two horns. It seems to me that I would attach these two powers at variance, one lamb like the other dragon speaking, to this constant struggle between these two what seem to be equal powers, as I outline in both my exposition of Revelation and about the beast apocalyptic, if you want more detail. Every time I open up, because the detail that I have in this book on the beast power, and specifically just by going through Revelation, I mean through Daniel's prophecies, it opened up a little more, well, a lot more insight for me into the nature of this earth, this lamb-like earth beast with its two horns that are equal throughout the life of the throughout the lifetime of that beast's power. So, but anyway, the empire of the city, through this tripartite division, she fulfills every criterion of the revelation to qualify as Mystery Babylon. Yeah. So you will notice that the city is singular in all instances. This is more an indication of proof with the contemporary use of the description, the empire of the city. So the city is Vatican, is a Vatican, and the empire is wherever it has control in the world. And of course, the image of the beast belongs to her because it was made, you know, by the second beast of Revelation 13, that two-horned earth beast with its dragon speaking power created the image of the first beast power. Yeah. And which will require allegiance of the whole world and require everyone to receive a mark in order to buy or sell or trade at some time. Everyone will have to declare their allegiance to the beast or they will not be able to buy or sell or trade in her world, one world monetary system that we see developing rapidly. Therefore, we have three locations, if not the entire world, to fulfill all of the grandeur, evil, and catastrophe applied to the city, Mystery Babylon. And when you see something like Mystery Babylon, it means that it's not literal Babylon. Yeah, but it's a mystery. And a mystery is something that most people are not going to recognize. It's not what you think it would be, as you would think like of historical Babylon. But it's a mystery, and most of the world cannot see it. And even few of God's people understand it, or people that claim to understand the Bible and prophecy, few of them understand what the city Mystery Babylon is, but that we know what it is as Protestant Reformed Protestant Christians, we at least have a better clue. Yes, if we are true Protestants, we understand that the great apostasy is the church, the Roman Catholic Church, with its man of sin, whom we also call the Antichrist. And that is the seat of the papacy. So little explanation is necessary when the required criteria are applied to the tripartite administrated New World social economic order of the woman that rides the beast. It would be impossible. See, I'm having a problem with my mouse here. Yeah, it's not working right. Maybe I need a new one. Okay. Are applied to the tripartite administrated New World social economic order of the woman that rides the beast. It would be impossible to apply all of these points to any one particular nation, even the United States of America, because it was very popular. There are some books that were written over the last couple decades pointing out that America, a lot of the identifying points are easily seen in America, but not all of them. And it would be impossible to apply all of the points describing Mystery Babylon to America or any one particular nation, even the United States of America. But when we consider that she is all over the world administrating her New World social economic order over the whole world, primarily from her three city states in her empire of the city, then it becomes a little easier to understand how we can apply the evil, the grandeur, the evil and catastrophe that the Bible applies to Mystery Babylon to her in the time to come. Now, the Vatican, the Roman Catholic Church, and that's not a small C Catholic. This is a proper name, Roman Catholic, under the papacy, not Jesus Christ, under the Antichrist, the one who usurps the power of Christ, who believes he rules in heaven, earth, and hell with his triple tiara, his triple crown. He believes he has the keys. Yeah. That were supposedly passed down from Peter the Apostle. And we debunk all that in other articles. So the Catholic Church, the Roman Catholic Church, openly rules over more than 2 billion of the world's 6 billion people. Of course, it's more than that now. And really, it has 2 billion adherents, people who call themselves, who name themselves by that religious entity, the Roman Catholic Church. But she rules over many more people through her tripartite administration of the entire world. As a matter of fact, and she's trying very hard to destroy America, because through that destruction, she can gain control, more control of the world by destroying the systems that are there and that have been opposed to her rule. That is the Great Whore's Rule. So, but officially, she dominates over more than 2 billion of the world's population through her church hierarchy. Now, the staggering wealth of the Vatican includes enormous investments, which have grown very much even since this article was written, with the Rothschilds in Britain, France, and the USA, with giant oil and weapons corporations like Shell and General Electric. The Vatican's solid gold bullion stored with the Rothschild-controlled Bank of England and the U.S. Federal Reserve Bank, which is part of her bank, which is another branch of the Antichrist bank. Yeah. is worth untold billions. The Vatican is the biggest financial power, wealth accumulator, and property owner in the world. She possesses more material wealth than any bank, corporation, giant trust, or government anywhere on the globe. And while two-thirds of the world earns less than $2 a day, and one-fifth of the world is underfed, some even starving to death, the Vatican hoards the world's wealth, profits from it on the financial markets, and at the same time fleeces as much as possible from even its poorest adherents. The Vatican is the very seat of the man of sin, the prophesied Antichrist of the apocalypse, the biblical book of Revelation. Then we have the Corporation of London. Like Vatican City, London's financial district is also a privately owned corporation, or a city-state, located right smack in the heart of Greater London. It became a sovereign state in 1694, when King William III of Orange privatized and turned the Bank of England over to the bankers. I wonder how that happened. Took him over 100 years to finally take over the and get a central bank in America. Yes. The Antichrist does rule the world and owns the monetary systems of the world. Even China. Yeah. Today, the city-state of London is the world's financial power center. It houses the Rothschilds-controlled Bank of England, the branch offices of 385 or more banks, 70-plus U.S. banks. It has its own courts, its own laws, its own flag, and its own police force. It is not part of Greater London, England, or the British Commonwealth, and pays no taxes. Oh, yes, it also has some, what do you call them? Okay, well, we'll get to it. I'm thinking ahead here. It has its own courts. The city-state of London houses Fleet Street's newspaper and publishing monopolies. It also the headquarters for worldwide English Freemasonry and headquarters for the worldwide money cartel known as the Crown. Yes, they own the Federal Reserve, the World Economic Forum. All of these things work together and are and have their capital in the city, sovereign city-state of London, and this worldwide money cartel known as the Crown. And the Crown is not the royal family or the British monarch. See, but that's the deception. Like in Canada, that they believe they're a crown colony, and so they pay homage to the Queen or whatever. That's all a veil. That's all for public consumption. The Crown is not the royal family or the British monarch. The Crown is the private corporation of London. It has a council of 12 members who rule the corporation under a mayor called the Lord Mayor. The Lord Mayor and his 12-member council serve as proxies who sit in for 13 of the world's wealthiest, most powerful banking families. The Warburg family, the Oppenheimer family, the Schiff family, these families and their descendants run the Crown Corporation of London. The Crown Corporation holds title to worldwide crowned land in crown colonies like Canada, Australia, and New Zealand. You wonder why those three colonies, crown colonies, went all out and lockstep and became a spectacle for the world. Yeah, now you wonder why? Because the Antichrist has almost total control there. And you see what happened in Canada, well, Australia, and New Zealand. Yes, indeed. the British Parliament and the British Prime Minister serve as a public front for these ruling crown families. All of these serve the Vatican, and as a result have become very rich while maintaining their wealth. Domine dirge nos. Master, direct us, is the motto of the City of London Corporation. There's no doubt in my mind who their master is. Even the scripture indicates. The dragon gives them their power. Now we come to the third city in the unholy trinity that rules the world, the District of Columbia. And perhaps we'll save this one for our next segment, since this segment is about to end. Okay, you're listening to Across the Border. I'm Nicholas Arthur. This is a live Prophecy Reality Worldview Weekly edition, and where we try to tie it together and what's going on in the world, where we fit in Bible prophecy, and to make sense of it. And I've been working on this project for, well, nearly 20 years now, 17 years since 2005, when I decided to dive in as deep as I could and to understand prophecy. And to this day, I'm still understanding it more and more. And I hope that you will agree with me, not just because I'm saying it, but because you've checked me out and you've checked out the things I say against the Word of God, and you've thoroughly looked into it as deeply as you can yourself.
Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. That's crosstheborder.org.
I know you all want answers, and believe me, so do I, and I'll do my best to get them.
Despite Nicolas Cage's promise to do his best to get Left Behind rapture answers for us, don't hold your breath. Not everyone believes Left Behind is true prophecy. Some may even regard as conspiratorial the mainstream re-release of the Left Behind movie, with actor Nicolas Cage portraying the main character, as an attempt to further reinforce in the minds of all this perception of false prophecy, in order to condition the masses for the play about to begin. If you want true Bible prophecy answers, get the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. The author exposes the Latin rapture origin, the seven-year tribulation deception, true Bible revelation of Daniel's 70 weeks, the abomination of desolation, the restrainer, America in the revelation, the image of the beast, and the mark of the beast, and the truth about God's chosen people, and so much more about Bible prophecy. This book will shatter the Left Behind paradigm of future events. Get the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. That's crosstheborder.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is a live Prophecy Reality edition. And we are in our second hour here. When we left, we were talking about the city of the empire. Let me take a look and see if I got any comments or anything in the chat room. Okay. Well, just a test. Good to see you here, Tom W. I don't know if I haven't seen you in a while, but I'm glad to see you here today. And, of course, Dale, Stephen, Ellie, Fireman Mike, and myself and Ty. in the chat room. And of course, everyone that's listening, and you don't have to come to the chat room. Many people listen on their app while they're working and don't want to watch a broadcast, but so hope it's just as listenable or more listenable than it is a visual thing, because our main thing here is First Amendment radio and our Protestant free speech and freedom of religion rights that we enjoy by the Constitution and the Bill of Rights that was established when they established the Constitution and set up their Jesuit government over there in an effort to concentrate power on the continent. And they've done, it's worked out for them. It's, you know, like I said, it took them 100 years to take over the banking system. That's where all the power is, in the money. And I had a little chart here I wanted to show you before we jump into the District of Columbia, the third city state in which the Antichrist and his shadow government have divided the power over which they administer the New World Social Economic Order. Let's see, where is that at? Oh, it's here, and there it is. Now, this is an eye-popping chart here. And this is the last 7 years, I believe, if I read this correctly. It's an inverted CPI index. It vividly shows the value of the dollar has steadily dwindled over the last 10 years. So this is 10 years, 2012 to 2022. And you can see there's a steady decline here until what? It actually went up at the beginning of the 2020 panic. And, but then the decline continued, and you can see that it was steady for over the last, the first 7 years of it, but it has been precipitous since then. And look at the line here is almost nearly straight down. That's where we're at, people. This is what we've been talking about for 20 years that was coming, with the decline of the American economy. And we are in a precipitous fall now. And I hope that you can see that clearly. This chart, the line is a steady decline over the last 10 years. And I mean, if we took this back 50 years, you can see that every year the decline increases, but now it is a precipitous fall. Okay. The line is almost going straight down. And they call it inflation, but this is really the value of the dollar as pegged against commodities. Okay, that's the stuff you need to live. Commodities like food for grain and oil and the things and energy and the necessities of life. This is the value of your dollars in a precipitous fall. This is what this is what was needed for the Antichrist to reach his goal and to implement a one world total control monetary system, total digital, where he has control over everything. Of course, there will be a black market, without which God's people would not be able to survive these times at all, if at all. And you can see where this is going to lead. And this is where it's going. So all I can say is this is not going to change. The dollar's not going to suddenly recover. It might level off a little bit, but this precipitous fall, it doesn't look like this is going to be recoverable. And from history, from what examples we have in history, once you get to this point where this precipitous fall begins, you know, you can see the line is more horizontal in the past, and you can see a few dips, but nothing like what there's, I mean, even the dips here in the past, there's nothing unless we go back to 2008. You'll have see a precipitous fall there. So we could have another correction and leveling off. And I would like to see that, but still it's not going to get better than what we've seen in the years leading up to 2020, the 7-year period. If it corrects itself, it may correct itself to that. But this precipitous fall has been going on for over a year now. Since mid-20, well, really since the pandemic began, it fell and then it leveled out a little bit, but now it is just falling precipitously. So you have been warned. if you needed any warning, up to this date. But anyway, let's jump back into this. The Empire of the City. Okay. Yeah, that's kind of a chilling chart, but we need to see the truth. Okay, the District of Columbia, like the Vatican and the Corporation of London, a third city-state was officially created on land ceded by several Catholic colonies, by the several Catholic colonies of Virginia and Maryland in 1790 as the first act of the American Constitution. And they were ceded by several Jesuit owners of that land, primarily the Carroll family. F. Tupper Saucy, in his reports in his book Rulers of Evil, to quote him, what? The American government, Roman Catholic from the beginning? Consider the land known today as the District of Columbia bore the name Rome in 1663 property records, and the branch of the Potomac River that bordered Rome on the south was called Tiber. Yeah, the Carroll family named it Rome and the river Tiber. Okay. On the south was called the Tiber. This information was reported in the 1902 edition of the Catholic Encyclopedia's article on Daniel Carroll. The article specifically declaring itself of interest to Catholics in the 1902 edition. It was deleted from the New Catholic Encyclopedia, 1967. Saucy adds, In 1790, got a couple of numbers juxtaposed there. In 1790, President George Washington, a Protestant, appointed Congressman Carroll to head a commission of three men to select land for the federal city called for in the Constitution. Yes, and why wouldn't he? They were the ones that proposed it and pushed very hard for it. We needed a seat for our government. Well, this is the cup of poison in the Constitution. I hate to tell you, but that's the truth. Well, it's become obvious today what a cup of poison it is. I mean, look what's over there. Yeah, we don't even call him. We call his government the Biden regime. Yes. He appointed Congressman Carroll to head the commission of three men to select land for the federal city called for in the Constitution. Of all the places, the commission chose Rome. Wow, what a surprise. Which at the time consisted of four farms, one of which belonged to Daniel Carroll. It was upon Carroll's farm that the new government chose to erect its most important building, the Capitol. The con of the Constitution was veiled. Few would perceive or even suspect what was truly behind the reason given for the popular consumption to form a more perfect union. Perfect for what? Yes, perfect for the intrigue of the Antichrist. Perfect to concentrate power, because the Antichrist, through his much experience over the last nearly several thousand years preceding, had learned a great lesson about the concentration of power. Wherever power is concentrated, there it is easiest to gain control through intrigue, through bribery. So, but for popular consumption, to perform a more perfect union than had the Articles of Confederation. Yes, the Articles perhaps should have been, but we got what we got, and history is what it is. So all the what-ifs in the world are not going to change the reality of the situation we are in at this very moment. If not for the insisted upon Protestant Bill of Rights, liberty would have perished that day. 60 years later, when the secession movement swept the South, threatening the empire's DC power, even some of the northern states were considering secession. I have to add that. Okay, the secession movement swept the South, threatening the empire's DC power center in the New World. The election leading up to the Civil War had one candidate who stumped vociferously for preserving the Union. The Empire of the City did not want to lose its foothold for total control in the New World, so stealthily backed the unwitting Abraham Lincoln, who was pressured to keep his pledge to preserve the Union at any cost. Yeah, he would have never dreamed of what the cost would be. But that cost was even the cost of the lives of hundreds of thousands of America's fathers and sons. After the war, when Lincoln sought to restore the South to equal footing and original intent of the Union, he had outlived his usefulness. The post-war, post-assassination era was just a time of crisis. Yes, the Antichrist loves crisis. That the empire needed to mold America into an image more to its liking. The first giant leap in the takeover of the free nation had just succeeded, with the consequent reconstruction, the 14th Amendment, and the Act of 1871, America would never be the same. The next giant leap would include the 1913 Federal Reserve coup of the United States Treasury by the City of London bankers and the introduction of the first world reserve currency, the Federal Reserve Note. And also, you have the 27th Amendment ripping the power away from the states and putting it into the hands of the voting public, and just turning the Senate into a super Congress. Yeah, into super congressmen. That's all they are now. The Senate is super. And it was passed the same way that the 13th Amendment was passed, through intrigue, cheating, stealing, lying, and control of the media. Because anyone who in their right mind would believe that the states themselves would vote away their own power in the federal government. But that's what we're led to believe. That's the lie, just like the 1913 Federal Reserve Act was passed through the same type of intrigue. And there's a book about that, The Law That Never Was. You can look it up. Very eye-opening. exposition there. So, the next giant leap would include the 1913 Federal Reserve coup of the United States Treasury by the City of London bankers and the introduction of the first world reserve currency, the Federal Reserve Note, its subsequent Great Depression, and the numbering of all Americans through the Social Security system. The cause that began in America has now spread to every nation on earth, a new world social economic order. Yes, he caused everyone to receive a mark in their right hands or in their forehead, that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the number of his name. That's the cause. He caused it to happen through the Federal Reserve coup of the U.S. Treasury and stealing the labor of America and the riches of America by that coup. You wonder what happened to America in the last 100 years? There it is. That's how we went from a nation of prosperity to a nation of debt. We have been ripped off, America, by the Antichrist and his shadow government, and nobody sees it. Nobody's speaking of it, except, well, one of the most suppressed and shadow banned networks in the world. Yes, First Amendment Radio, and few others, also shadow banned tremendously. That's so much so that they're not even worried about us. Yeah. I'm sure they're keeping an eye on us, though. Yeah. So we come to our conclusion. Did I finish that? Note, its subsequent Great Depression, the numbering of all Americans through the Social Security system, the cause that has begun in America has now spread to every nation on earth, a new world social economic order. So the conclusion, although geographically separate, the three city-states of the Vatican, the Corporation of London, and the District of Columbia are one interlocking empire called the Empire of the City. The flag of the District of Columbia has three red stars, one for each city-state in the city, three-city empire. This tripartite union controls the world economically through London's Square Mile Financial District, militarily through the District of Columbia, with the Vatican, its head and spiritual as well as temporal seat for the Vicar of Christ on earth, who is the Pope and the Antichrist. And there was given to him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. Revelation 13:5. If we are truly as close to the end of all things and the return of Christ as most believers hold, then we should be able to observe the elements of these things presently coming to fruition. With the recent exposure of the Malachi prophecy, and, of course, their 2020. I guess I could update this article a little bit more, because we're not talking about the Malachi prophecy. That was 5 or 10 years ago when I wrote this article. So, and as I said, we should be able to observe the elements of these things. And I wrote then, with the recent exposure of the Malachi prophecy, the installation of the Jesuit Pope Francis, I have had the honor of coming into agreement with many evangelical and futurist-leaning Christians that the final pope will be, in fact, the prophesied end-time Antichrist. Many of them are saying that, and many of them believe it because they're rejecting Pope Francis, especially the Catholic Church militant. Yeah, they believe that the last papacy will be the Antichrist, but I'm saying that the seat of the papacy has been the seat of the Antichrist, the man of sin, all along. That's what all the evidence of Bible prophecy fulfilled in history reveals for us. And I'll go on here. All of the facts here, easily verified on the ground, confirm that the time is right for a one-world religious leader, and no one is better positioned to fill that role than the Pope of Rome. Yes. Time magazine drives the point home by the selection of this Pope as Person of the Year 2013, with two paragraphs of adulation among many. Quoting them, how do you practice humility from the most exalted throne on earth. I have to laugh at that. Rarely has a new player on the world stage captured so much attention so quickly, young and old, faithful and cynical, as has Pope Francis. In his 9 months in office, he has placed himself at the very center of the central conversations of our time about wealth and poverty, fairness and justice, transparency, modernity, globalization, the role of women, the nature of marriage, the temptations of power. At a time when the limits of leadership are being tested in so many places, along comes a man with no visible army or weapons. Yeah, you can see I added visible there. No kingdom beyond a tight fist of land in the middle of Rome, but with the immense wealth and weight of history behind him to throw down the challenge. The world is getting smaller. Individual voices are getting louder. Really? Yeah. Guess they haven't been around. This was written before 2020. Yes, definitely. Technology is turning virtue viral. Turning virtue viral. So his pulpit is visible to the ends of the earth. When he kisses the face of a disfigured man or washes the feet of a Muslim woman, the image resonates far beyond the boundaries of the Catholic Church. Unquote. All the world wondered after the beast, Revelation 13:3. Former Catholic priest Richard Benefit has this to say about the latest Pope of Rome, Cardinal Bergoglio, in order to build a public image for himself once elected, chose the name Pope Francis in honor of Saint Francis of Assisi. Saint Francis was known to be a soft-hearted lover of nature. Thus, Pope Francis adroitly implied that he would be similarly unassuming, kind, and harmless. On the other hand, from his first speech and subsequent presentations, he has shown himself as a totalitarian Jesuit. Thus, as the media and many ecumenical evangelicals fawn over Pope Francis, it is necessary to biblically analyze his speeches and performances. And I'm going to leave out the last chapter there. The last paragraph there and let you read it for yourself. That's all the time we have. May the Almighty bless you and keep you as you travel on the narrow way that leads to life. We'll see you next time.